Aloha and welcome to the conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Hi, Beth Ann.
Hello there, Chris.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to get candy cigarettes, which trained us to yearn for the day when we could smoke cigarettes as being so grown up, right?
There were many kids who were in your position, too, and saw those mint green and pink and blue and yellow candy cigarettes, and some of them, you know, the gum cigarettes, too. And
we couldn't wait.
Yeah, that was just part of adulthood.
That's right.
Being dumbed down for kids' use. And that's part of the problem that we've talked about for a great many years with how the tobacco industry has been marketing to kids.
Yeah.
And it's back at us again. Now, gummy bear, cotton candy, and fruit punch are just a few of the flavors. And unlike relatively benign sweets, these are e-liquid choices. From 2011 to 2015, e-cigarette use among high school students jumped from 1.5% to 16% nationwide. And more kids now use e-cigarettes than traditional varieties. In Hawaii, lawmakers amended the definition of retail tobacco permit in a Senate bill, now with the House, to include the sale of electronic smoking devices and e-liquid. On the eve of a national day to speak out against big tobacco, young people in Hawaii are readying their arguments to take to the state capitol. This year, Kick Butt State is spotlighting how tobacco companies are enticing kids with an ever-growing market of sweet-flavored electronic products. Jessica Yamauchi is the executive director of the Hawaii Pacific Health Institute, which houses the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Hawaii, and she's in our studio now. And it's from, I should say, the Hawaii Public Health Institute.
Thank you.
We've talked many, many times about what has been happening over time with the Master Tobacco Settlement Fund. And just to get us started, what's the status of that right now?
So 2 years ago, 2 years ago, 2015, the legislature did keep intact the Tobacco Trust Fund. They had redistributed certain parts of the Master Settlement Agreement, but the Tobacco Trust Fund remained intact and receives 12.5%. So in years prior to that, we actually were seeing a decline in what was given to the Tobacco Trust Fund based on the economy and funds needing to be diverted elsewhere. So it is good that we are at 12.5%. It is not as high as we would like it to be and not at the levels that CDC would actually recommend is spent on tobacco prevention. And we also want to remind folks that this is from the Master Settlement Agreement, but nothing from the current cigarette tax or the other tobacco product tax that exists goes towards this fund.
And that's the point, because a lot of people erroneously believe that that tax is helping to feed the Master Tobacco Settlement, which sort of leads us back into one of the bills that you have been talking about this time around, SB 404-SD2, now with the House. That would require retailers who engage in the sale of cigarettes, tobacco products, electronic smoking devices, and the e-liquid to fill them to have a retail tobacco permit. In part, that sounds like a way to gather a great deal of data. Do we not have enough data about who's actually selling this stuff?
Yes. So currently there is a tobacco permit that is required for anybody selling tobacco products. However, it does not currently apply to anybody selling electronic smoking devices. So if there's a retailer or a wholesaler who is solely selling electronic smoking devices and no other tobacco permit, they're not required to pull one. And that leaves us with an inaccurate database of all the retailers that are selling, which is problematic because it doesn't allow our Department of Health to properly educate and enforce the current tobacco laws.
The tax that would also be part of this bill, would that, in fact, go back into the Master Tobacco Settlement? Would there be anything coming from it that would help feed that, too?
So that was the intention, is that at least a portion of it would go towards that. And I think the language in the bill was a little problematic. And so it actually got taken out. And we do want to recommend that it go directly into the Tobacco Trust Fund, which does currently exist and could be used for education and enforcement. At least a percentage of these revenues, not necessarily, you know, all of the revenues, but a portion of it. Again, nothing from the cigarette tax or other tobacco product tax currently goes to the Tobacco Trust Fund. As we've been, you know, able to pass some new regulations, it's important to have the resources to really educate and enforce those regulations.
that was supposed to be the other hand with all this. You can't just simply, you know, have tax and regulation without being able to do the education piece, as was originally the idea behind the Master Tobacco Settlement Fund. Part of that education, though, seems to be happening in a social way and with people talking to other people and friends, and you see how many people are standing outside of a party smoking, or when you go into a building, how many people are still there smoking. That number seems to be, in at least anecdotally, decreasing. Looking at this other bill that would prohibit smoking and tobacco use, including electronic devices, on the University of Hawaii campus, that bill was being driven by who? Was students part of that?
Yes, it was part of the governor's package, and there were a total of four bills introduced, and two were part of the governor's package, two were part of the university's package. But, you know, across the country, we've seen many, many, many college campuses and universities have tobacco-free policies in place. And some of the university campuses have done this, but it's not consistent throughout the system. We've also heard from students where they are, especially students here in Hawaii, where they are used to a campus that is completely tobacco-free at their schools in the DOE. And then they go to the university and they're shocked that it's not. So we just, you know, we think that it's important to really have that consistent policy throughout the system.
The focus being on any sort of smoke, not just traditional cigars and cigarettes, but to include what's happening with e-cigarettes too, because that seems to be proliferating. And we talked about some of the stats a little earlier about how much more. That was a nationwide stat. How consistent is that in Hawaii, that 16%?
Our rates are higher here. And I don't have the exact numbers on me right now, but we had just done an interview a couple weeks ago, and I think it was 25% local high school students that had used e-cigarettes in the last 30 days. So it's higher here than it is nationally. And I think one of the things, you know, we're playing catch up. We had very, very progressive laws around tobacco, and e-cigarettes weren't included in most of those laws, and it had been a loophole. And so it grew. I think the use of them really grew. The social norms around them changed. And slowly, we're trying to close these loopholes, and we've made some progress. The tax is one that's a big one, where they're now the only tobacco product that doesn't have a tobacco tax attached to it. So slowly, as we continue to close these loopholes and we continue to do some education, and we'll start to see that social norm change, but it's going to take some time. The industry was way ahead of us on this one.
The kids that you have talked to, and to give that incredible statistic of 25% of them who have smoked some sort of e-cigarette in the last 30 days, I mean, that's pretty outstanding given the 16% nationally. But that also seems to say that for quite a while, kids have really understood that this, too, is smoking. It's not just something else in lieu of. That kind of message needs a whole different campaign around it. Are you now strategizing how to target just that, since it's become, in a way, such a monster?
We are. We're looking at all different types of educating that needs to happen. And I think you're exactly right. And we're seeing, you know, the reversal of trends, where our cigarette smoking here among youth is really low. And we continue to see the e-cigarette use climb and climb. We don't have 2016 data yet, so that's from 2015.
So could it be even worse?
It could be. We're going to hope that it might be a little bit better, too. We passed age to 21 law that went into effect January 1, 2016. So, you know, we don't, like I said, we don't have that data yet from 2016. We'll have to see what that looks like. But
when will you have that?
That's a Department of Health question. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Well, we hope to, you know, like everyone else, the sooner the better. But, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. Good luck with these bills. And we should say that although Kit Butts Day is tomorrow nationally, because of spring break and not wanting to haul kids out of school, they, in fact, will be down at the Capitol on Monday. So if you happen to be there, you might just see them there, too. Thanks very much, Jessica.
Thank you.
Jessica Yamauchi is the executive director of the Hawaii Public Health Institute. One of its projects is the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Hawaii. The coalition led the effort to raise the age of sale of tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, to age 21. That went into effect last year. Kick Butts Day is tomorrow, and the coalition will be at the state capitol for a rally and walk around to speak with lawmakers about this year's bills on Monday.